Everybody stand and say, God bless Brother and Sister Perry. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. I was happy to see Margie come in tonight and Dora, who got the Holy Ghost today, both of them. So happy to see them back here tonight looking for greater things in God every time we come back. And I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm happy all of you are here tonight. And I have found five in this service tonight who I want to see God fill them with the Holy Ghost. I've picked out five. Yeah. Make that six. Sam really needs the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as I preached Wednesday night on victory through ignorance and how that as a child can visualize these things and believe they're going to happen, it's a child's way of faith. I have already visualized five people getting the Holy Ghost tonight. Faith. I'm putting my faith on the line believing that God's going to do it. Can we work with God tonight and let Him have His way here tonight? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another hand clap as Sister Perry sings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You may be seated. Well, I started out and I'm going to finish. And my dad always told me that half of getting a chore done was making up your mind to do it. You know, you've seen kids. I know you probably y'all have some. It takes them all day long just to get the garbage taken out because they won't make up their mind to do it. And that's the same way with living for God. Once you make up your mind, hey, I started out and I'm going to finish. It's not so hard. You worship with me. I started one day to follow Jesus, not caring for worldly fame, though sometimes it seemed that I could make it. My head hung down in shame, and the world around me was offering its glitter, trying to dim my view. Oh, but I started out, and I'm gonna finish this race. I have begun, though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm pressing right on, and though the river may be so deep till it seems all my hope is gone. Though the clouds hang low and the thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. Oh, I started out and I'm gonna finish this race. I have begun. Oh, though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm pressing right on. And though the rivers I cross may be so deep till it seems all my hope is gone, though the clouds hang low and the thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. Oh, I started out and I'm gonna finish this race. I have begun, and as it is written, surely I'll find the strength to carry on. And just when I needed someone to guide, I felt His hand holding mine. There's not a river too wide, not a mountain too high that I can overcome. Oh, I started out and I'm gonna finish this race. I have begun. Help me sing it. Though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm pressing right on. And though the rivers I cross may be so deep till it seems all my hope is gone. Oh, the clouds hang low and the thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. Oh, I started out and I'm gonna finish this race. I have begun. Oh, I started out and I'm gonna finish this race. I have begun. Oh, I started out.
There's a lot of people who will get in this race for heaven, and they'll be in for a week, a month, year, 5 years, even 10 years. But I didn't get in just for today, just for tomorrow. When I got in this race, I made up my mind, I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I've gone too far to turn back now. I'm going all the way. Hallelujah. If we could turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. As Brother Rutledge mentioned, I only went to Bible college 1 year. And I have a very good explanation for that. I really do. Not that I'm a dropout. I just taught them everything I knew in 1 year. And so I just couldn't teach them anything else. So I had to leave. It gets pretty bad when you teach everything you know in 1 year. But nevertheless, hallelujah. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 7th verse, I would like to read. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Two questions asked there. What did you go to see? Number one. Then he kind of answers it with the question, a reed shaken with the wind? I ask you tonight, are you a reed shaken with the wind? Turn to three people around you and ask them that very question. Hallelujah. I didn't say tell jokes. I just said ask them a question. Everybody starts laughing and cutting up. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are those, no doubt, who would listen to what the Lord, I feel the Lord has given me for this service tonight, and they would say, well, that's exactly what he preached this morning. It is not, I'm going to say, similar, but it is not the same idea. It is not the same thought that I gave this morning. And for those of you who were here this morning and were not touched by the Spirit of God, who did not surrender your life to God, God has given you another chance tonight. Amen. Amen. And for those of you who were not here this morning and did not hear the teaching and preaching that came across this morning, God has given you a chance tonight to make a direction, to make a start, to start the race with Him. And tonight can be a great night for you. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, we find a man by the name of Saul. Head and shoulders above all he was. He was a great man. He was a mighty man, a great warrior. He was just a fine specimen of a man. He would just seem to be everything that everybody thought he should be. But he had just been crowned king or anointed king, or the kingship had just been placed upon him. And although he was not ruling as of yet, he was destined to be the next king of Israel. And we see the ways begin to change and things begin to happen. And the prophet Samuel came and said, I want you to go to the camp of the Amalekites, and I want you to destroy everything the Amalekites have. Now, if we look into history, we see that this was the plan of God because of the way the Amalekites treated the children of Israel in their journey between Egypt and the land of Canaan. Because of that, God said, one day I will destroy them. One day I will extinguish their very lives. And we see that the job had been placed upon Saul's life. And he was to go, he was to kill every kid. He was to destroy every life. He was to tear down every tent. He was to kill every animal, burn every crop. He was to do everything. There wasn't to be one living thing left in the camp of the Amalekites when Saul got through. And we see that as Saul took off on his journey, you know, he had his men of bravery, he had his warriors, he had his things that he was going to really go out here and he was going to show them how it was done. Now Saul was to be a great man, he was a mighty man, he knew how to, you know, he had the charisma, he knew how to talk, he knew how to deal with things, you know. So here he gets to the land of the Amalekites, into the camp of the Amalekites, and he begins to step back and scratch his head a little bit. Brother Rutledge, I think I know better. I don't think I need to destroy everything here. There's a few things I could say. There's a few things I could linger on to. There's a few things that I could still do. You know, I'm not so dumb that I can't do some things on myself. He went back to the prophet Samuel and he brought back with him the animals, you know, the cattle and the sheep. And then he brought with him King Agag. And he said, oh, yes, King, I've done what you told me to do. Or yes, prophet, I've told you what you told me to do. I've done it. I've done it. I've really fulfilled it. But he said, what is that that I hear? What is that that I hear? What is the noise? Is it the hoof of the cattle and the sheep upon the stone? What have you done, Saul? What have you done? I'll tell you what he had done. He had been a reed shaking with the wind and saying, I know best. And all the time he knew no better. He did not know best. He did not know how to do it. But you see, there was a wind that began to blow over the life of Saul and said, hey, Saul, you know best. You know who it was that destroyed the life of Saul? You know who it was that killed Saul that day on the battlefield? It was the very thing that he did not destroy himself. It was an Amalekite. There's a lot of things in our lives that we know best, preacher. I don't have to give up this and I don't have to give up that. I don't have to go to church here and I don't have to live like you people say I have to. But let me tell you something. There is a wind in the world that is blowing today and it is trying to change the hearts and lives of men and women, as it spoke of in Ephesians 4:14, where it says, you're like a child, you're to and fro and you're blown by the winds of doctrine. Yes, there's all types of doctors, there's all types of churches, and there's a lot of them that would like to get their clutches on you. But I'm saying, don't be blown by the winds of you know best. Come on back to where it's really at. Jesus knows best. Jesus knows best. Jesus knows best. He preached against it. He outlawed it. He said, it's not going to happen. Every witch, every wizard, I want them out of my country. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I want them out of here. He preached against it. He stomped the floor. He shouted about it. He got up on his balcony and he told the people about it. He signed it. He stamped it with his ring of approval. And yet, in the very last few days of his life, here goes the old weak-kneed, watery backbone Saul, going back to the thing he used to preach against. Going back to the thing he used to believe against. Going back to the old witch of Endor. Going back to the old witch. Going back to the old evil spirit. There's a lot of things that we've preached against, and I appreciate a church like this that has a pastor that still believes the gospel, still holds up a standard of living that's halfway decent. Amen. Oh, there's a lot of times that we don't like what our pastor tells us to do. We don't like the things he tries to get across to us in our ways of living. But let me tell you something. Don't be shaken by the winds of doctrine of the world. Don't you let the winds of sin destroy your life. You know what you've got to believe. You know what you've got to do to be saved. Then do it. Hallelujah. It's not hard. It's not difficult. In 1 Kings, we find a man there by the name of Ahab. Ahab, the king of Israel. Oh, the people lifted him up. He was king. Oh, he was great. He wore the crown, the beautiful robes. He sat on the throne. He lived in the wonderful palace. And he had a wife, Jezebel. Jezebel. Without a backbone, no standards. Didn't know what he believed in. Didn't know who his God was. Didn't know anything about God. He began to build the temples to the idol gods. He began to lift up the gardens. He began to build up the altars. He brought in the priest and the ministers from afar saying, hey, excuse me, I want you to come in here and I want you to be the preachers and I want you to be the priest over these idol stone gods. You know, Ahab is considered to be the worst king in all of the Bible times. Why? Because he was a man who was blown by fear. He was afraid of his wife. He was afraid of the ERA. He was afraid of women livers. He was afraid of a woman who stood up and said, you're going to do it this way or I'm leaving. He was afraid. He was afraid of people. He was afraid of those around him. But we have got to make up in our mind, when we live for God, the world, husband, wife, friends, family, teachers, workers on the job, nothing is going to be able to shake us. Why? Because we're not going to be a reed shaken with the wind, but we're going to have our feet planted on the rock of Jesus, and we're going to have it together. Oh, yes, on the job, they'll laugh at you. They'll talk about you. They'll try to scare you. They'll try to make it sound like you're so goofball. You're such a square. You're so out of it. That's all right. Say what you want to. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Tell me how many people in the world know who can sit down and logically humanly reason out why they smoke a cigarette. I wonder. Could they tell me in a halfway decent sensibility why they get drunk? They don't know what they believe. They don't know. They don't know why they live the way they live. They just do it. Don't worry about it. But there is somebody somewhere. It's right here. It's we, the people of God, who know what we're living. We know why we're living it. We know where we're going. And we know how we're going to get there. And for those of you who are here tonight who are stumbling in darkness, you don't know which way to go. You're simply a reed shaking with the wind. You don't have to leave here that way. But you can leave here tonight changed with your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, knowing what you got in your heart. Know why you're alive. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. I don't have to be afraid of those I work with. I don't have to be afraid of those I go to school with. I don't have to be afraid of a husband. I don't have to be afraid of a wife. I don't have to be afraid of a family. I don't have to be afraid of friends. No. Why? Because I do not have the spirit of fear, but I've got the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. We're known by the love that we show one for another. We've got power through the Holy Ghost. And we've got the peace that passeth all understanding, which gives us a sound mind. So we can go to sleep on the pillow at night knowing what we believe. Knowing that if the Lord should come before we awake, that everything's going to be all right and we'll go with Him. But how many people who are simply a reed shaking with the wind, who will lay their head on the pillow tonight not knowing where their destiny is, not knowing where they will spend eternity, that I say tonight, are you a reed shaking with the wind, or is your feet on the rock? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Afraid is all Ahab was. Judas, in the New Testament, everywhere we find the name Judas mentioned, except maybe once, it is said Judas, one of the 12. Why does it bring out Judas, the betrayer, the sinner, the one who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, being the price of the highest paid for slave in the day? The best slave you could buy was $30, and that's exactly what Jesus was sold for. Oh, to think that Judas had lived with Jesus, had been with Jesus, had talked with Jesus, good company for 3.5 years. He'd been there during the loaves and the fishes when they fed the thousands. He'd been there during the miracle of Bartimaeus with the woman with the issue of blood. He'd been there when the lepers were healed. He had been there through all of the great miracles that Jesus had performed. And oh, he was feeling good. He was stepping high. Every time he would see a miracle, man, he felt so great. But there was something lacking within. Why? What was it? Because he did not have his feet planted in the right place. He was simply a reed that was blown by the wind of wanting more money. Just 30 more pieces of silver. Just a little bit more money. Just a little bit more cash. Just a little more jingle in my pocket. Oh, God, how many people in today's life would sell out their God for just a little more money? They're reeds shaking with the wind. They're shaking with desires of worldly lust and worldly fame and worldly interest and the things that the world says they can give them, when the devil cannot give joy, for joy is not his to give. The devil cannot give peace, for he knows no peace. The devil cannot give love, for he's never experienced love. He can't give the good things of God because he's the furthest thing from God. You see, he's a reed shaking with the wind. Yes. What do you believe, devil? Well, what do you believe? I believe sin. That's what I believe. Go to the next person. What do you believe, devil? I believe. Hey, yeah, that's just what the devil believes. Whatever you believe is not, long as it's not the truth. There are 2,550 denominations in America. 2,550. And the devil agrees with probably 2,500 of them. Come on now. That's right. The devil agrees with all 2,500 of them. There's probably 50 that he says no way. The devil, you mean he really knows what he believes? No, he doesn't. He's simply a reed shaking with the wind. You see, Judas thought he would sell his Lord, but he only succeeded in selling himself. He looked for forgetfulness in suicide when he should have sought mercy at the cross. You know what was there waiting for Judas? Although he had sold his very Lord, there was mercy at the cross waiting for Judas. But Judas was just a man, I guess we could say, who might have been. Might have been what? He might have been a Saul. He might have been a Paul. He might have been the writer of our books. He could have been a great evangelist. He could have been a great soul winner. He could have been a great Sunday school teacher. He could have been a great preacher. He could have been a great witnesser. He could have been a great one example to those around him. But no, Judas was just a man who might have been. How many people are sitting in this place tonight? Think about your very self. Or you are sitting in this place tonight and you are just a person who might have been the Sunday school teacher, who might have been the evangelist, who might have been the preacher, who might have been the soul winner, who might have been the door knocker, who might have been the one who witnesses, who might be the one who works at the nursing home, preaching and teaching and singing to those folks. You are those who might be something, but no, you're simply someone that is racked with sin, and you're reed blown. You're reed blown with the winds, and you do not know what you believe. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're really talking about. Oh, you want more pleasure, more joy, more peace, and the devil will never give you that because he doesn't have it. Oh, God. Just a man who might have been. Just a man who might have been. I read of John. John in the wilderness. People went to see John in the wilderness because there was a curiosity. Curiosity about the crazy preacher in the wilderness. You hear about somebody new that comes out. All types of curiosity will be stirred up. There's half of the people that would go hear somebody new just for the idea of see what they're talking about, see what they got to sell, see what's going on, and all this kind. They're just going to do it for the curiosity of it, just to see if it's fake, just to see if it's real. But we see John out in the middle of the desert, out in the wilderness, you know. He's out here leaning on an old bush or old tree, and he begins to preach. Well, somebody walks by on their way to town, begins to spread the word in town. Well, they start flocking in from everywhere, wanting to hear this crazy preacher in the wilderness, out there talking to nothing, out there preaching to nobody. Jesus stood up in his defense. Jesus stood up in his defense. Said, what did you come to the wilderness to see? What did you walk all the way out of the city for? Why did you leave city? Why did you leave the town? Why did we leave your way of living? Why did you come all the way out here to see John? Why? Because you're curious? Because you want to know what new in town? You want to find a new religion? I'll tell you. Are you looking for a reed shaking with the wind? He's not that. He's firm. He's resolute. His feet is planted. He knows what he believes. He knows what he's talking about. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's got. Oh, if we could just realize what Jesus was talking about. But yet at the same time, we look at John, who Jesus, man, he patted him on the back. Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming down the aisle tonight and patting you on the back and said, here is one person that I know is strong. They're not a reed shaking with the wind. Man, they're standing on the rock. Man, they have got it going. They know how to pray. They know. Man, I mean your head would swell up and we'd have to knock out a window to get you out of here. You know I'm telling you the truth because mine would too. That's right. To think that Jesus would pat me on the back and tell me how great I am and tell me how good I'm doing. Oh, John, that didn't bother him. He still stood on the rock. Still had his feet planted. He didn't swell up. He didn't get all big-headed about it. He just went right on doing his work. When the storm blew hard, he was laying there on the old chopping block of hair. Didn't matter to him one bit. Because he knew what he believed. He knew where he was going. He knew what he had in his heart. He knew what was in store for him on the other side. Oh, if we could just get this kind of a Holy Ghost in our life, that we could realize what we've got on the inside. In Psalms 108 it says, my heart is fixed. And that's exactly what we need to do, is get our heart fixed on what we believe and stand on the rock Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 says, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast, unmovable. Oh, what do you mean? I'm talking about getting on the rock. You know, when Jesus chose Simon Peter, as we know him, Simon, which was his name, meant a reed. So here comes Peter, or Simon, to Jesus, just a flimsy old reed. He don't know what he believes. He don't know where he's going. He just happened to be standing there one day, and Andrew came and picked him up and said, "Come on, I want to take you to the one that we've been talking about and hearing about. Come follow me." So here goes Peter, and now he's a part of the discipleship of Jesus, and he's walking along with Jesus, and Jesus prophesies and says, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." And yeah, sure enough, he's just a reed shaking with the wind. But you see, in the meantime, Jesus changed his name from Simon, meaning a reed, to Peter, meaning a rock. Huh? Right? Right? In other words, he said, "Now, Peter, when I get done with you, you're not going to be the reed you are now. You're not going to be the old flimsy believer you are now," because he really didn't believe in Jesus, or he wouldn't have done that. But you know, he made Peter such a rock. He made Peter such a knowledgeable man on what he believed, that he said, "Now I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom." Boy, now that's putting a lot of trust in somebody. He said, "I'm going to give you the authority to preach the very first message on what's happened to you." Boy, now that's what I'm talking about. If there are those here tonight who, if the winds of worldly lust would blow, you would go right along with it. If the wind of sin would blow, you'd flow right along with it. If the winds of worldly interest would come along, you'd be going that way. If a new religion came in town, you'd go that way. If a new church opened up somewhere, you'd go that way. You don't know what you believe. Don't know where you're going. Don't know what you got. But let me tell you tonight, there's a Jesus Christ here who can change you from the reed and put you on the rock. And you'll know what you believe. Know where you're going. Know what you got. Jesus wants to do that. I say Jesus wants to do that. Stephen. In the book of Acts, he was a man who knew what he was talking about, a young man, possibly just 30 years old. Thank you, brother. Possibly just 30 years old. As a man who knew what he was talking about, who knew what he believed. Yes, he stood at his own defense in court. He looked at the judges, at the Pharisees, at the Sadducees, whoever was there after him, and he said, "Hey, stiff-necked and uncircumcised." You know what he was doing? He was simply asking for death. That's like me going in there and calling the judge all kinds of names and then expecting to get out free. No way. No way. Stoning. As the rocks and the stones begin to bust into his body and break his bones and bruise his flesh and cut his flesh, he began to bleed. He began to cry. He began to wail. But he would never recant. He would never give up. He would never stop. Why? Because he was not a reed. He knew what he believed, and he was going to believe it till the end. We could go on and on through the Bible. On and on and on, of those who were the reeds and those who were the rocks, those who knew what they believed and those who didn't. But yet there is a question that is ringing out of this message tonight to hearts and lives all across this place. And the question is, are you a reed shaken with the wind? I wonder tonight if we could see a great list. And on one side it would say, on the rock. And on the other side, a reed. What list would your name be under? Would you be considered a reed? Or would you be considered steadfast, unmovable, solid, feet planted? Where would you be? Where would you be? Which list would your name be on? In 2 Thessalonians it says, "But the Lord who is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He can establish you. He can keep you from evil. He can plant your feet in the rock Christ Jesus. He knows what you need. He wants to do it. In Hebrews 10:23 it says, "Let us hold steadfast to the profession of our faith without wavering." Look at an old reed when the wind begins to blow. This away, that away. You never know which way it's going to go, just depending on which way the wind blows. But he says here, without wavering. Without wavering. Oh, it doesn't have to be the reed here tonight. You don't have to leave here the way you came. You don't have to leave here the undecisive, not knowing where you're going. You don't have to leave here that way tonight. But you can leave here on the rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. As we stand tonight, The devil is trying with everything he's got to destroy hearts and lives. Yes, he's trying to take your very life from you tonight. He doesn't want you to have the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want you to speak in tongues. He doesn't want you to find the fullness of the Godhead. He doesn't want you to be baptized in Jesus' name. No. The devil wants to keep you flimsy, a reed, not knowing where you're going, what you've got, how you're going to get there. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is here tonight, just as he was this morning when he moved in such a beautiful way and brought two people from the reeds of the world to the rock of Jesus Christ. He's here tonight to do that to at least five. If you'll let him, he'll do it. I want every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.